have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. We are going to be talking about online church, and Nils Smith is not with us this week, which I'm okay with. He's probably sleeping somewhere or just, you know, doing something. But we're bringing on a friend of ours, Alec Todd from Northview Church in Indiana. And so, Alec, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just hanging out. It's finally 78 degrees here in Indiana. So I know California's already had that for months, but it was 20 degrees last week. So,
oh my goodness, that doesn't. And it, for everybody's watching either on YouTube or on our Apple TV app, I am dressed like IT support, and you look like you're the lead singer of a band. Like, I swear, like you're in Sex Pistol. I can't even say it.
I mean you're IT support, so it's just tough to get on board. Yeah,
I love it. Well, you know, one of the ways, I mean, this conversation that we're about to have is actually something that we met at a conference in Texas, and we actually had this conversation a little bit in a hotel lobby about church online. You were new in this role, so what I would love is that a lot of people are either doing a church online experience with their church, or maybe they're waiting to do it because they're kind of not ready to do it. So your church just celebrated, you were just sharing this before we started recording, that you guys just celebrated a 1-year anniversary of doing church online, and you have been in this role as online pastor for 6 months. So why don't you just share a little bit, about yourself, and then we'll talk about church online and what you guys have been doing, but share a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so Jay and I originally, I can't remember where we got connected. Obviously, we got connected at iMinistry Conference, but I want to say that we got connected via social media before that. I was coming into the role, and my boss in October told me that, hey, you need to go to iMinistry Conference. It's a great place to meet and connect with people. And I had not known anyone at this conference or really knew where the church was or any idea of any of that. But I decided to jump in with me and a volunteer. And Jay and I connected beforehand. We connected over coffee virtually, which was cool. And then we got to share coffee as well. I'm a big coffee drinker as well as Jay. So we were able to connect there. And after that, I transitioned into this role from working at church here for about a year and a half. They just decided it was time for me to transition and really, really dive deeper into what it meant to do online ministry. They had been doing it off and on for about 6 months and weren't really sure what to do. And were ready to really take that next step. So I signed on to do that in October. And like you said, we had our 1-year anniversary in April. We've seen our numbers continue to grow, as well as we've celebrated 112 commitments to Christ over the past year. So that's really why we do what we're doing online, and those have been great to celebrate. So,
before we jump into all the ministry stuff, I mean, we're both into coffee, but you're a little bit more in. You're actually a roaster. So share just a couple, like real bit, what you do on that end.
And I hadn't paid for official sponsorship, you know, push. So I wasn't sure if this was allowed. But yeah, I do. I own Indy Coffee Roasters. Jay's had his moonshine many times on this podcast. It is not moonshine. I can suffice. It is Indy Coffee Roasters coffee. I started doing coffee stuff about 3 years ago. And really just wanting, it breathed out of ministry really, but wanting to have a way to cultivate relationships with people. And to me, if you're able to either share food or share a drink together, a lot of times you can share a lot of great conversation. So we don't do any single serve. We intentionally sell bags of 12 ounces in the hope that you would share it with someone. So that's really where it breathed from. And I've been able to have, again, great conversations with people just over coffee and connecting in that way.
Have you ever, I just tried for the first time, like a Turkish coffee. Have you ever tried Turkish coffee?
I did. My sister-in-law just got back from Spain last summer and she brought back some Turkish coffee. And it's interesting. I mean, I bought the Ibrik, I believe is the you use, and I did it at home, and it's really all sort of based on the recipe because and the cool part about Turkish coffee is that it's passed down from years and years, it seems like. So like one family has this recipe and another family has this, and so, you know, no two people will drink it the same, which is sort of, it's sort of funny. But I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a different, it tasted sort of like espresso with a little bit of sweet.
Yeah, totally did. Yeah.
But it was cool. It was fun to do.
Yeah. Do you know how, okay, this is my last question. How long, and you actually recommended a book to me.
Yeah.
I actually still need to get that book. It was on my cart. It's in my cart on Amazon, but, it's so weird. I'm so accustomed, especially because of California, like, and we've talked about this. I drink only cold coffee, and actually the coffee that you gave me, I did it all cold. I mean, that's what I do. But is cold coffee something that is very like American, or is that like cold brew, I guess?
Yeah.
Is that very American, or is that something, I mean, do you know?
Yeah. I mean, it started, on the West Coast. It was in the upper Northwest and that, and then it made its way over to New York for sort of the convenience sake. I want to say, I mean, it hasn't been that popular for that long. It's been really probably 5 or 6 years, but I mean, you go to Spain and you go to Europe and they don't drink coffee as often as we drink coffee. We sort of treat coffee like soda, or in some European countries, they look at beer a lot like soda.
Yeah.
But, like if you go to Spain, I mean, you'll have espresso in the morning and then you'd have it like for dessert or after, you know, dinner or something, but they definitely aren't like drinking it throughout the day. Sort of that like coffee diner culture, I think, happened over here. And then I want to say the cold brew stuff was really just people wanted to try coffee differently in the summer months, and it sort of hit a lot like sweet tea, I guess. We over here in the South, we love sweet tea.
In the South, you're so north.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, but we drink a lot of sweet tea. So a lot of people that I sell my cold coffee to, they drink a lot of that. And but I don't. I mean, I hated cold coffee for a long, long time until I tried it in the cold brew fashion, then I've sort of fell in love with it, and I drink it pretty often in the summertime. But when it's cold, we drink that hot coffee. So
if people want to get your coffee, where can they go? So just to put a period on that.
Yeah. You can head over to indiecoffeeroasters.com. It's INDIE coffeeroasters.com. And you can order from there. So
it's great stuff. And so, okay, well, anyways, that's like for my own enjoyment.
Yeah.
Ask those questions. So let's talk about this. So you've been in this role for 6 months as an online pastor. So talk a little bit about that. What has been the learning for you as just being on staff in this role, and then also just the church stuff as your church has been doing? What have been some of the learnings over the last 6 months?
I mean, I've always had a pastor's heart in mind, even when it comes to doing things digitally. I've always tried to see people at the ends of those numbers. Alan George of Life Church shared a lot of that at iMinistry Conference and talked a lot about how every number that they have on their analytics are a family or a person that has a story and all of that. So What I didn't want to do is just have a rebroadcast. We've been rebroadcasting our services for a long time, but I haven't really intentionally done anything with it for up until this past year. So I really wanted to change that and make it about people and make it about that. So we've started to institute some email processes that go into place to where if you were to go to our services really anytime throughout the week, you'll get a pop-up window that has you fill out a little bit more information about yourself and just get connected with us. That information then goes into our data, and we're able to create some email lists where I can email them and let them know we were really happy that they joined us and that we're looking forward to them joining us at a campus. And here's your campus pastor's name and email. And this is how you would go and worship their locations and whatnot. And then as well, if they're outside of our campus area, we have another list for them where I just ask for a little bit more information about them, and we try to get them some other resources, obviously, because we're not able to meet them at a campus. So they get a little bit more information, as well as I send them a card in the mail that just is a little bit more of a connecting point. So that's been really cool to be able to really see people behind, you know, those numbers that just keep coming up. And some of them I've been able to meet face to face. Some I've been able to chat with over the phone. What we've really seen work well is those handwritten notes. And I send a gift card either to our coffee shop here or to a coffee shop that they're in their area. And I've gotten a lot of great response back of just like, hey, I've just checked it out for the first time, but I got this card from you, and it was really cool to see that. So we're seeing some headway with that. And all of that, again, is very intentional because our goal has transitioned from I'll backtrack a little bit, but Northview is a multi-site church. So like other multi-site models, we have other campuses around Indianapolis area. We continually launch more campuses around the area. And we launched online as a campus in itself when it launched last year. And then we've made the transition to make it more of a resource, not a dedicated campus, which really was the thing that we learned at iMinistry Conference, was that you really need to decide where you want to go, what path you want to take. There's a lot of churches doing it really well as a campus, and then there's a lot doing it really well as a resource. And really just where we were at as a church and where we are currently is that we really want to see people come through the doors of our campuses. So we use our online ministry as a resource for them to, for our members to invite friends to watch online, make it a little less intimidating experience, as well as we've found through analytics of our website that the most trafficked things that people look for are where is your location, what should I wear, and what does your worship sound or look like? So they're able to get two of those three things through our online ministry, we're able to see some of those people start to transition from that. So
what I'm curious, and there's a couple questions here, and this is why I'm interested, is what is a funnel? What is your funnel process look like? And this is what I love, is that you guys are pushing this, you have media going out, but ultimately you're trying to get people to respond. So you have cognitively made the decision that we need some kind of form because we want those people to reach out. And if they reach out, you can funnel them down. So how do you take somebody from who's local, let's say to Indiana or somewhere, you know, where you have, since you're already multi-site, how do you funnel them through? And then what do you do with people also that are non-local, that are like away from let's say outside of an hour driving distance? What's the process for those two types of people?
Yeah, so obviously the majority of our viewers are, I think we're at 85% from Indiana. So the majority of our viewers are in that local arena or that local sphere. So they do have the ability to join us. So what we do, I guess the important piece to understand is that if people are willing to give you information and you're willing to give them a resource in return, then people are a lot more likely to do that. So we always pub this idea that we want to help you by providing you with something if you simply provide us with your email and first and last name. So we don't hound them and ask them tons of information. We don't, you know, our form is really simple. You know, have you attended a campus before? If not, then can you give us your email and first and last name? But that's all that we ask on the front end. We don't, I learned from a couple people that you never want to get in the way of what people really want to see, which for us, what people really want to see is the service, obviously. Mm-hmm. So obviously with the way web works is it pops up in front of you. So if you're too abrasive with that, it gets in the way of what people really want to see. And then you become just another marketing company or just another ad or something like that. And that's not what we want. So when we get them through that funneling process, they go into a list, like I said, and the goal is to email them something to where they have now a face to connect with. So they have my name because they've already seen me on camera. So they have my name now. As well as if they're in area, any area close to one of our campuses, they have the name and email of the campus pastor from that location. So the hope is that if they do join us at a service, they'll see that pastor either on stage during the service or they'll see him at the info center as they're walking in. Our pastors do a great job of being present in the lobby before and after services. So that transition tends to be easier. The other thing that I do is the way our structure works is because I'm not a campus staff member, with meaning that we don't have an online campus. I'm considered central staff. So I service all of our church. That being said, I go and visit other campuses at least 2 weeks out of the month. And all I do simply is just stand in the lobby and greet people. So the idea is that if you, Jay, were watching online for a couple weeks and you kept seeing my face and you know who I am, and then you live in, you know, for example, Fishers, and you decide to come to our Fishers campus, the hope is that I can be your initial bridge on one end, you cross the bridge, and then I'm on the other end as well. I had a good volunteer of mine share with me that if we can find a way to make online ministry a bridge and then also be at both ends of the bridge, then people will have no excuse really then to get connected. And I've had multiple people meet me in the lobby and say, hey, I know you from somewhere. I don't know where. And it's awkward for a second, but, you know, I share with them that, hey, you've probably seen me online. And they're like, yeah, that's where we've been watching for weeks and we're excited to be here. And so that's, I guess, the physical.
So you guys have that nailed down. Sounds like pretty well. And yeah, you live local. I love how you get a touch point immediately and you put a face. I know that if you can hand them off, what I love hearing is sometimes it's real easy, at least I know in my situation, organizationally, to forward an email. But to hand them off, to know that that person's actually following up, to meet them in the lobby, I mean, that is the, I mean, that's the ultimate relay, you know, kind of passing the baton. But so what do you do with somebody who's non-local right now?
What we do for them is that's the piece that you check, either yes or no, that you've attended. If you say no, then that asks for a little bit more information, including zip code, and some
country,
of that
country code maybe.
it
gets a little messy.
So we ask for a little bit more information there, in the hopes that we can get them in the database and then have a little bit more information on what we can do. I then send them an email that says, hey, thank you for joining us, and that we if you're ever visiting this area, we'd love to see you. If not, we're excited that you're joining us online. If there's anything that we can do to help get you some resources, let us know. We let them know about Right Now Media for resources, as well as we tell them to email me and get connected with me. We also put in there another form that gives a little bit more detail in the hope that we then can send them a book or send them something as well, like we would do as a first-time visitor here. And we don't have a ton of those. We get probably 100 people fill out the, or 120 people fill out the form each week. About 80 to 90 of those are from our area, and then probably 15 to 20 are not. So they would fill that out. Some of them I know by name now because they watch pretty regularly and they don't have the ability. And we have one guy watching with his father who's been on bed rest for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's from Avon, and I've talked to him on the phone and we connect that way, as well as there's some people. We just had a lady, actually, I'll be emailing this week, that accepted Christ online in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be getting connected with her as well. So there's not a ton that we offer, really. The big goal really for that would be encouraging them to get connected to a community in their area.
Of course.
And then obviously continue. I always keep their information in there because I never want it to feel like we're just passing them off to whatever and sort of checking them off the list. The difference between, I think, between like the, we use the inbound marketing. We don't use those tools, but we use that sort of moniker, I guess, and sort of that strategy.
Yeah.
And the idea with that is that you get them in the funnel and eventually they go out. I think the difference with church, at least for us, is that there's not a huge end to that funnel for us. But we always want to keep checking back with them. Even if they joined us online just once, we always want to try to connect back and see how they're doing. And just be, because, I mean, for some people, online will be a really significant piece of their spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Especially, we've had almost 40 people transition from online only in October to members at our physical campuses.
Oh, wow. I love that you track that, like, in that detail. That's
it. Yeah. And the thing I always try to remember is that online isn't just a service, but for some people, it may be where God spoke to them for the first time, or where they decided to take that leap of faith to join the friend that's been inviting them forever. Or so for some people, it's a marker in their life. And we never want to discredit that. We do things, especially like we offer salvation moments online as well, like I was saying. And if they fill out the form like they would at our services, we get them information about baptism. We then celebrate them with another email here a month after they've accepted Christ. So we shoot them another email just saying, hey, remember this big moment? And I, again, learned that from Alan at Life Church. But we never want to downplay what experience they could have online just because it may be different than coming into a building and, you know, seeing
So you have a funnel. Obviously it's a lot clearer when they're local. And then you have this funnel that it sounds like it's obviously that's a work in progress. It's pretty easy since that if they live far away, you find them a local community. So which I love, and every church in that it's different. And I know the more we talk, you talked about Alan George, you know, everyone does that depending on how they do that. But you mentioned briefly, and I wanted to just spend the last couple of minutes talking about this, because I think this is a huge distinction to understand. You talked about this idea that, you know, it's when you were first hired into this role, not hired to the church, but moved into this role, you were the online campus pastor. And now you really moved to just the online pastor. Why is that important, and why should a church be thinking about it that way?
It comes back to whether or not you look at it as a campus. And when I say that, I mean that if I live in Fishers, Indiana, we have a campus in Fishers. And if you are looking at it like a campus online, then your staff or pastor or whatnot would be comfortable with me, a local person, only joining online, essentially becoming a member of your church online only. You know, you can join events like other multi-site campuses would join at events, but your primary place of worship is online. And so that would also involve launching life groups online, getting in those avenues, So that's really the piece that we ran into, is that, are we ready to do that? That also comes with the idea that if you're an online campus, then we felt like it was important then to broaden our scope to be nationwide, if not worldwide. So that really would have changed the way that we start communicating digitally as a whole. So we start spending Google AdWords money, not just in Indiana, but across the country. So it really changes sort of the scope of how you're communicating and how you're advertising and all of that. Because if you're an online campus, then someone in New York or someone in California or that, you should be targeting them as well. So for us, with all of our strategy, that was where we were at. And so I played a little bit of that limbo for a while, just as we were figuring things out and trying to understand where this ministry, Northview Online, really fit well. And so for us, I joined the communications team, which also houses our digital strategy team. So now I have the opportunity not only to focus on online weekend services, but I now have the opportunity to focus on cultivating and curating an online experience as a whole. So including our website, we use right now Media, our app that we're launching on TV streaming apps, as well as our digital app for mobile devices, and our online experience on the weekend. So it gives me a little bit more freedom, I would say, to have an overarching view on what it looks like, as well as be able to freely work with our digital strategy team at points, because I was just a campus. I felt like I couldn't really use all those resources well. And now we're able to really freely work together. It really, for us, our digital strategy really needed a ministry mind as a whole, if we wanted to keep pushing and trying and doing new things. And the person I work with needed help as well with some of that stuff, analytics and all of that. So I've been able to come alongside and do some of that.
I love that. I think it's such an eye-opening way of looking at that, and that stuff that we've talked about of really, online is geographically not limited, but once you put campus, you kind of, there's all these expectations that are affiliated with it. So why not leverage online in the way it should? And I love that you've navigated that just in 6 months. Like there's a lot of changes there. So we got probably 3 more minutes here. Talk a little bit about the data that you track and what's important, and maybe even how you guys have shifted that, because I know that's something we've talked about a little bit, and what you track and what's healthy and, some of the tools that you use for that.
Yeah. And I think this sort of ties in with that as well, but I think that with that, just finishing up that last piece with the online campus or online experience type of vibe, the important thing to understand is that you need to, those of you that are watching that are trying to figure out where you're at, you need to make sure that you're coming underneath the mission and vision of what your church is. The idea with online ministry is not to put yourself out on an island and launch this whole nother thing that is going to be separate and outside of the mission and vision. Because what happens with that is that you don't get time with your leadership. You don't get time from your lead pastor. So I felt like it was vitally important to really come under the mission and vision. If I was starting my own church, you may do it a different way, but I'm, underneath and fully on board with the mission and vision of what Northview is doing. So that was really why we made the decision we did. So that being said, it's just vitally important for especially the younger generation that can tend to try to be a little bit more rebellious when it comes to that.
Yeah, like a jean jacket, like no.
Like a jean jacket. This is I can't even say anything.
Okay. So analytics wise, what are you guys what are you guys tracking, and like what are you using? Are you just using analytics, and then like
but what we've tried to see is obviously analytics are out there. Most of your listeners probably have some data in Google Analytics in some way. But the big problem with the analytics right now is that it's all out there, and tons of information. But if you don't know what your leadership wants to see, then you can't really curate any of that, any of those analytics. So what I did initially was say, hey guys, I can run a report as little or as often as you want, but I need to know what's important to you as a church. You know, so for us, obviously transitions are important. So we really want to use our locations page, our messages page, really heavily, as well as our resources page for our groups and teams model. So those are really important. So that in turn means that in Google Analytics, I need to show a report for how's our locations page doing? Does it need to be redone in order for people to navigate to it better? So really, as you're starting with analytics, sit down with whoever your boss may be, or you know, your lead pastor, if you're able to connect with them and they're interested in that, and just ask what do they want from it. And you don't have to go crazy with, you know, what the numbers look like, or you know, make it seem too intense, but what do they want to know? And then you translate that into analytics. So for us, we're using Google Analytics pretty heavily. I'm diving into that both on our entire web experience. So we use it for our streaming apps. We use a thing called Flurry Analytics for our mobile app. That's just our app provider provided us with that program. So we use that for there. And then we use, obviously, Google AdWords pretty heavily. If you have the resources that get connected with the SEO or Google AdWords Pro, I would vitally use it. I mean, we're lucky enough to have a volunteer here that has been willing to come in and really revamp our Google AdWords. If you didn't know already, you have $10,000 a month that you can use on Google AdWords for free. You just have to apply as a nonprofit. And they, you know, you got to jump through some hoops, but it's out there. And AdWords are huge. We also use Hotjar for heat mapping, as well as not necessarily mapping, but progression of the page. So our website is very scrollable. So there's a lot of content as you scroll, very blog-like. So if we aren't seeing a lot of great data from the bottom of the page, then we may shift some of that stuff to the top, or move some of that around. And Hotjar is free for a certain amount of hits. So you can go out and try it and then purchase the pro version if you want to do that. Heat mapping's really bit, they're really actually the cool part about Hotjar, that without sounding too commercial like, is that it records up to 100 participants at a time and stores that information. So like if one of you guys would go to our website, it would record what you did on our website with mouse clicks and page progression and all of that. So it's really funny to watch, because you're watching it and they're typing in the search bar and they can't find it. And then they're typing again and they can't find it. And you're like, just hit the button at the bottom as you're watching this thing. But it really helps to sort of see the path and progression of where people are going on your website.
I love it. I haven't checked out that resource. I'm going to be checking that out after this.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, it can be really intense, but really fun too to see where people are going. And it helps you sort of map out your website, especially if you have the ability to redesign it. And we're in the process of launching our new website in May. So we'll be heavily using Hotjar to see how that new design has helped with some of that, some of those problems. And with that, I would encourage you guys to use some test groups. I guess we use some pilot groups to just navigate our website. People that are unchurched, people that are members, people that aren't, and just say, "Hey, navigate our website and find these things, and just see how people are using your website, because that data is real data." If you're a staff member, you know exactly where everything is. But if your website is truly for your first time visitor, then you got to get some data on what that looks like. I guess what we're excited about in the future, we're trying to create some dedicated content for our TV app. So we're working with video to create that, as well as I'm dabbling personally in Snapchat, which I've been a Snapchat hater for a long time, and I think I'm fully coming around to to using it. So we're looking at some custom filters and things like that, as well as just trying to figure out how we create dedicated content. With us not being a campus, we're always a resource, so it can be hard sometimes for the viewer to not feel left out. So we're trying to create some dedicated content, whether it's Snapchat or Facebook Live, or we'll be doing a giveaway when we launch the TV app for online people to where, you know, they can fill out the form and get the get an Apple TV or a Roku. So we're excited about trying to curate some experiences to encourage people to, you know, join us digitally. So,
well, you guys are doing some cool stuff. I know we talked about a lot of different things, but if you're listening to this, I'm going to put links to, check out Alex's church's, I always feel weird saying your name because I have a brother named Alex. So whenever I go to say it, brain like follows this pattern. Alex. But go to Alex Church's online experience. Check it out. I'll put links to his social, to his coffee stuff, to the hot jar. There's so much stuff here that we talked about. And what we got to do, I mean, we're going to have you back on, but we got what we probably got should do is after another 6 months in this role, see what's changed. I just think the church online stuff is, you know, there's so many learnings. There's so many ways that I think we can learn from each other. And I know that's what Niels and I, that's kind of our background, that's my role day to day, so that's what I think about a lot. But thanks for sharing. And if you're listening, check out the show notes, go to socialmedia.church to learn more, and use the hashtag SMC podcast for any questions, feedback, and make sure you check out the show notes. There's a lot of great resources that were mentioned in the show. Thanks again, Alec, for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. And if you guys have any questions, please grab me on Twitter. I'm on there a lot, as well as on Instagram. So I'd love to chat with any of you guys. So thank you.
And make sure you go, you check out the YouTube video or the app on Apple TV, because this jacket is super cool. So and you can check out how lame I am. So anyways, see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.